have you say something. And I'm really excited about Randy getting saved. He was driving 2 hours to church from where he used to live, and he got saved, and he said, I want to move back home and start going to that church. And so he did, and he was coming Sunday mornings, and then he said, you know what? I'm going to get all the way in November, a year ago November. He said, I'm going to get all the way in. He said, I'm tired of hearing pastors say, remember what I taught on Wednesday night? Remember what I said on Sunday night? And he said, I want to find out. So I was teaching dispensations and all that stuff, and he's been reading his Bible ever since, every morning, witnessing. He gets baptized this 17th. Y'all pray his family's coming. We want to see him get saved. Amen. And so he's going with us down to Kentucky, and we're real excited. He's been traveling with me. My wife wanted me to let y'all know she loved you and sorry she couldn't make it. And this first time coming to faith without my wife. I've been to a couple other places without my wife and my three girls. Israel's always been my traveling buddy and my sidekick. And Randy's starting to add on to that, amen. And he's starting to travel with us and stuff, and I appreciate them. We left here in October, and you go to Proverbs, please, go to Proverbs. We left here in October, and when we left here in October, we went down to North Carolina and helped my wife's dad. And while I was on my way home, one of my men had died, Brother Tom Levasseur. Now, Brother Tom Levasseur was a POW in Vietnam. He had 3 tours. He was a sniper. He had over 40-some kills. He was a bad dude. He was a Navy SEALs. And God saved him when he got back to the States. And when I first moved there in November, this week of November, I moved there. Dad and Joe was with me. And that next morning as we got there, we went over his house. He just found out he had cancer. And he had one more year to live. And we went over there and prayed, and it touched his heart so much he started coming to our church. His wife got saved. My wife led his wife to the Lord. I led his grandson to the Lord. I've led his sons to the Lord. And Tom was a trooper, and they told him he got a year to live. And there's only 1% that makes 5 years. And he looked at the doctor. He said, I'll be the 1%. And Tom did, almost to the date. Actually, almost 6 years. And Brother Tom was a soldier. Amen. I mean a soldier, and a soldier for the Lord. He'd stamp our tracks. He'd pass out tracks. He'd be at events working. He was just something else. And at his funeral, I got to preach his funeral. I had 12 people raise their hand for salvation.
Amen.
One of his best friends that was in Vietnam with him. Wow. And you know how my dad does it. Sometimes you have him pray out loud. There was all these people praying out loud. I even had a pastor there raise his hand for salvation, for the Salvation Army. And they were praying out loud. And Tom was such a good man when he got out. He was a mean man when he went into the Army. He hated his dad. He wanted to kill people. He was tortured. But he got back and got saved, and the Lord saved his soul, and he was just a kind man, loved his grandkids. And that testimony went so far. Gave me so much liberty that all these folks were raising their hands and got saved, and it was a blessing. Just giving you a little bit of report since I left. We all been praying for me, and I appreciate it, and I could feel those prayers. And had a man, Jody, that I've been wanting to get in church and his family, and I didn't know this, but his 14-year-old daughter has been pushing him to come to our church. He works on Sundays sometimes, so they come and sit in the back. And I didn't know. She was real quiet. And everything, and that 14-year-old girl, she wanted to come. He told me this. He said she kept on pushing me, and I said, okay, we'll go again. And so they go, and he gets in the car. She gets in the car. She's dressed up. He said, is that perfume on? She said, yes. So he said, okay, just roll down the window a little bit because you put a little too much on. And she came, and last Sunday night, that little 14-year-old girl bowed her head in my office. Tears running down her face, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. I said, Aurora, do you know what just happened? All the angels are rejoicing. Amen. Rejoicing. And boy, that little 14-year-old girl began to weep. And she was the one that was pushing her daddy to get in church. Her daddy had gotten saved, and he's weeping over there. He said, "Preacher, I need to get my family back in church." I said, "Amen, amen." And so, Lord willing, he's there tonight. He was there last Wednesday night, and they're there in church tonight. What a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing. And I thank God for it and what he's done. And if y'all could, keep my wife in prayer. She's battling a lot of health problems. I know she'd hate for me to tell you. Some of you might know. But the Ryman family don't keep anything quiet. And Proverbs chapter 4, go to Proverbs chapter 4. And but just pray for my wife. She's been battling a lot of health problems. I think it was sleep apnea, but it's not, that machine's not working. And she ain't getting much sleep. And her body's just wearing down and wearing down. So if you just keep her in prayer, I'd really appreciate that. I love her. She's a good mom. And she's been doing a great job with our kids. And I thank the Lord for her. But I do miss her and my girls. So y'all pray for her. Pray for us as we go on this trip. Lord laid this on my heart. And Lord willing, I won't be long. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 23. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, boy, do we love you.
Amen.
These folks are here because they love you.
Amen.
And God, I'm thankful that they're here on a Wednesday night. There's so many churches people ain't coming on Wednesday night. And God, we are so thankful to be in your house. And God, we need you. They don't need Samson. They need you.
Amen.
And we need your word. Would you guide me? God, I'm very nervous. And I know, Lord, that you are dealing with my heart, and hopefully you deal with others' hearts here. God, we love you. We praise you. God, I'm so glad I got a God that's not dead.
Amen.
He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and you live in me. And you live in these folks that are saved. And if there's anybody lost here tonight, that they would get saved.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Diligence is care. Keeping your heart with care. For out of it are the issues of life. And we have many issues, don't we? We are a bunch of people with issues. Amen. And they come out of a heart. They come out of a heart. The issues mean the act of flowing out, the act of flowing out. And boy, we got a lot of issues that come out, and a lot of people think, well, that person, they're acting that way. Well, it comes from their heart. The way you act and the way you are and the things that you do when nobody else is looking around is in your heart. And we have it in our hearts, and I want you to go to Mark chapter 7 real quick. Go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, with all care. That we got the Lord saying, hey, listen, I want you to keep your heart. You know, we teach kids and people when they get saved, give your heart to God, and we give our heart to God. And you know what God does? He turns around and gives us our heart back. And he says, I want you to take care of it. He gives you a heart back, and he says, now, listen, I fixed it, but I want you to take care of it. I want you to maintain your heart. Care for that heart. Listen, guys, this is a Wednesday night. I remember working and rolling in. I'm working now. I'm a substitute teacher. Can you believe that, special ed kid? Nathan Gibb told me, I guarantee you ain't teaching English. Amen. I'm doing substitute teaching now and doing some side jobs on the side. It's to make ends meet. And you know what? You go to church on Wednesday nights. It's getting darker, like Josh had just said. And we're tired, and we get in here, and the heat gets on, and boy, you got your work. I see you guys with work boots, and I miss it sometimes, guys, getting out in the work boots and stuff. I don't want to work up in New York, though, because it's too cold. But down here, I miss it sometimes. But I remember coming in, and on a Wednesday night, and he's like, oh, it's another Wednesday night, and you're faithful. And I thank God you're faithful. But, man, I'm telling you, we get to a place sometimes where it's just normal. And we got our Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, and then we got Sunday school and all those things. We got to keep our hearts with diligence, with care. You say, why? Look what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7. Look at verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth what? Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. You know what the Bible says? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Evil thoughts. What proceedeth out of man? Adulteries, fornications, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and an evil eye, blaspheme, proud, foolishness. All these things come from within and defiles a man. All those things that he had just said there, if you've been around the Bible long enough, you realize you all have them in us. Galatians chapter 5, we ain't got time to go there, but Galatians chapter 5 explains all those things that we can be, a murderer, all those things, liars, those things, and we battle that stuff, we battle this flesh every day, so we got to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Do you realize if we don't keep our heart with all diligence, we cause problems for everybody else? How many times do we stand around and say, man, I can't believe so-and-so. I can't believe they did that, and they're not in church anymore, and they did this, and they did that. It's from their heart. It's from their heart. The heart is what we believe and what we desire. We will always act consistent to what we believe. We will always act consistent to what we believe. I preached at youth camp one year about, I had Brother Jason Garner get up and preach his testimony, how Trisha had asked him, what do you believe? And then I got up and I preached this whole thing about, hey, listen, we got so many young people holding on the tails of their parents. Amen. Let me ask you something, what do you believe? Yeah. Because of what you believe is what you're going to act on. If you believe it's okay for a man to marry a man, you'll be okay with watching the shows. If you're okay with people sleeping around with each other, you don't mind just hanging out with people that do it all the time. And talk about it. Because it's what you believe in your heart. And the Bible says, keep it with all diligence. Because out of it are the issues of life. And boy, we're going to cause a lot of problems and issues. We will always act consistent to what we believe, even when we try to hide it. When we try to hide it, it's just a matter of time, but it will manifest itself. It will be made known. How many times have we seen people or kids that grow up in homes and we say, man, I can't believe it. It was already in their heart. Yeah. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. The Bible says in Luke 8, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. And Mark, you don't have to turn there, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest. Time is coming. Whatever in your heart will manifest itself. We got to keep our hearts with all diligence. The heart is what we believe and desire. Our behavior is our words in our actions. Let me say that again. Our heart is what we believe and what we desire. Our behavior is our words and actions. The results are the emotions and the consequences. The result is the emotions and the consequences. Jeremiah 17, you don't have to turn there. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? And then it says this in verse 10, the Lord tries the heart. Our God takes our heart, he fixes it, he gives it back to you, and he says, keep it, and then he'll try it. He'll try it, and he'll try that heart, and he'll try that heart, and he'll try that heart, and he says this, I try the reins. That word reins means emotions and affections. He wants to see how deep your love for him is. He wants to try those emotions. But we get singing songs and we get singing about God. And man, it bothers me. And I try to teach our people because they're not used to it. But I try to teach them, man, do you realize the God that you have inside of you? Do you realize what we have? This world's going crazy, and they're doing stupid stuff. But man, we got a God that has it all under control. And one day he's coming back, and he's going to sit on the throne of David. Hallelujah. And we're going to worship him and praise him. But he's inside of me. He's inside of you. What a blessing that is. And he says, I'll try your hearts. I want to see where you're at. I want to see what you do with it. I want you to see what you do with my word, how you love my words, how you care for my words. Amen. He said, keep your heart with all diligence, son. Keep your heart with all diligence, daughter. He knew that we'd go day out and day in, same old thing, and we get weary. I'm no different than you. The same old thing, the same old songs, the same old meals, and we just get weary sometimes. But he said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then the Lord says this in Proverbs 23, my son, give me thine heart. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to give your heart, the one that he fixed and the one he asked you to take care of, the one that he says to take care of that heart. He said, but listen, I want you to give it back to me. You know what I have to do sometimes? Because I'm trying to maintain my heart and I can't fix it. Brother Heath, I can't fix it. And I have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I really messed this thing up. And I've been cold. Boy, the winter time, I've been just numb. Lord, I want to give it back to you. Could you fix it for me? I'm sorry for failing you. I'm sorry for being that way. My son, give me thine heart. For out of it. Give me thine heart, he says. He says, and let thine eyes observe my way. But a lot of times we do, we stop observing the ways of God. Now, if you asked people, what was the worst maritime disaster in America that America's ever seen or ever been through, most people would say it was the Titanic. 1,300 people had died. Half of them were Americans on the Titanic. And they probably would say that because the publicity that it got. They probably would say that because of, man, they have Titanic teams. I mean, people that sign up for this and go to these reunions of the Titanic. And they just built a museum in Midwest. One of my men in my church, his brother is hooked up to that group, and he won a free trip with his and he could take somebody else, and he took one of my men from my church out there, and they've seen it and paid his whole way. But the Titanic wasn't the worst that America's ever seen. The worst maritime disaster we've ever seen was at the end of the Civil War. Where it happened, it happened on the Mississippi River. At the end of the Civil War, our president gets shot. And it covered the newspapers, but in that newspaper was this disaster. At this time, we had steamboats with the paddles. You ever seen those steamboats with those big paddles? And boy, their steamboats were going up and down the Mississippi River, and they were carrying cargo, and they were carrying people, and they were distributing things up and down the Mississippi. But there was a steamboat that was the disaster. The Civil War had just ended, and they released all the soldiers in the South from all the concentration camps or the camps they have for war there. They had released all those soldiers. And it was a miracle if any of those soldiers made it through that camp. They say this, they say 60% of the healthy men that went through those camps never made it out. They died. And so the war was over, and in this little town of Mississippi called Natchez, I think it's how you say it. It's N-A-C-H-A-Z, Mississippi. The steamer that they called that came to that town there was called the Sultana. The Sultana came up to that river and saw those soldiers. They were releasing all those soldiers. And when it pulled up, the soldiers were ready to go home. And they wanted to go home. And if you look this up, you can find a picture of it online. And this steamboat, he could only hold 360 people. But this captain had found out that if every captain that he got home, he'd get $10 for, and every soldier that he brought home, he'd get $5 for. So he filled his boat up with over 2,500 people. Online, they show a picture, and you can see that boat as it sunk down into the water on the Mississippi River. And as that thing was going against the current, they had to go against the current to get these boys back home. And everybody was cheering and everybody was happy that they were released, and this gentleman was being kind enough. And listen, he wanted to help those men, but he also knew there was a benefit for him. But as he went up the river there he went all the way up to Memphis. And when he got to Memphis, they took a stop, and the gentleman that worked on all the boilers came to him, and he said, "Captain," he said, "listen to me." He said, "We're going to have to stop. We have a leak in our main boiler." And that captain said this. He said, "No, we can't. I got to get these boys home." And they begin to have a discussion and an argument over the patching, because the man said this. He said, "It's going to take me 3 days to fix it." He said, I don't know if I can patch it. He said, "No, patch it. We got to get these boys home." So he listened to his captain. He patched the boiler. They went 6 miles up the river, and it exploded. They said it exploded so bad, when you read about it, they found bodies that 400 yards on land. They said the shrapnel had killed thousands. It was over 2,200 people that died that day. There were some women and children that were on there. They said when that thing exploded, the fire was so bad, if for a quarter of a mile, the water was bubbling. People were screaming. They found bodies in trees. They found bodies all over the place. And at the end of one of the articles, the gentleman said this. He said, "Listen, it's better to fix something than to patch it." I told you that story because of this. What I'm finding in our churches, I've been there at my church for 6 years, and some of my folks that have been with me for 6 years are starting to get used to it. And all they've done was patch. Patch, patch. And the Bible says, keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it the issues of life. And Faith Baptist, can I tell you, when that thing explodes in your life, the disaster that it caused. I could look around this room and I could tell you stories growing up here, Michael Shane, of people patching, 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 patching. See, over here in Jeremiah, he talks about that he would give you the fruit of what your heart has in it. But you got to understand something. A lot of times when we sin, we don't realize that we don't get that fruit right then and there. Fruit takes time to grow. And you guys know about corn. Boy, they'll plow the ground. They put that corn in there. And boy, and after a while, then it'll grow. And they come out there. But listen, let me tell you something. Your fruit of not without fixing your heart, but just patching your heart, will cause such a big problem. I've seen families explode. And when it exploded in here, it hurt many others. It hurts the little ones. Because why? We didn't keep our heart with all diligence. Church, can I encourage you to not to patch your heart tonight, but to maybe get on this altar and just say, Lord, I just want to fix it. I want you to fix it. Lord, would you take my heart? And there's something, and maybe it's something you just been through the revival, through youth camp, through youth rally. You just said, man, it was good, but I just really, there's something there, and maybe you even know what it is. And maybe tonight we should get on this altar and say, God, would you fix it? Because I'm tired of patching. A year ago, as my sister comes to the piano, a year ago, almost to the date, I had some stuff explode. It actually exploded in the middle of summer. But when I had to tell this family to leave, I lost 20-some people because of one family that had to leave. And my church is still has not recovered all the way from it. I'd have people leave, Brother Squiggy, and God send us more. But this thing had infected the church. And Randy, he just got in. He didn't even know. But it infected the church that it almost choked us out. I went from 75 that year at the beginning of the year, Brother David, to 26 people. Because somebody kept on patching and patching and patching, and it exploded, and I was trying to help them fix it, and then they said, we don't want you to fix it, and they begin to demand things, and they begin to ask for these things, and then put target on pastors' back, and boy, it got people confused. People still pulling out shrapnel. Now listen, I look around here, I told Randy, I said, pretty big for a Wednesday night, isn't it? I forget how big it is. We probably got, what, 10, 15 tonight? When I used to have 30 on a Wednesday night. It breaks my heart. Because one of those families that got hurt, pastor called me today on the way down. And he said this. He said, I'm calling you because this family used to come to our church as a charismatic church. And he said, but they want to come back. Is there anything I need to know? And I had begun to tell him the story, and I said, listen, brother. I said, they're a product of getting in the middle of something they didn't need to get into, and it wasn't their fault because that other family brought them into it. And when it exploded, it took them out. Six kids. Mom and dad, getting their Bible straight, getting their doctrine straight. And now here they are going back to a charismatic. They haven't been in church for almost a year. What about it, church? I want to do this tonight. Something a little different. Why don't you stand? You don't have to come. I don't want to make anybody come, but if I can get the men to come down, I get on the altar and say, listen, Lord, I just want to talk to you tonight about my heart. Just my heart. I need to keep it with all diligence. There's people at stake. There's kids at stake. The bus routes are at stake. Oh boy, the Wednesday nights meetings at stake. My children at stake. Our men that we send out of our church here at Faith Baptist that are doing something for God. Ladies, you can come to the altar too, but you can get down right there. You can pray. Ladies, listen. The problem, one of the problems I had is because there was a lady that would not, God help her, would not get it fixed. She just patched it. I'm begging you. You got boys out. You got missionaries. Look at that missionary board. I hope one day my church can do that. But if we don't get God to fix our hearts, those issues will come out. You know what I want my issues to come out? I want my issues to come out good. Amen. Carrying people up the river, getting them back home where they need to be. Amen. I want the issues of life to come out, that I'd be like Jesus and that I'd help people, that my issues of my sinful heart would not explode and ruin families, a church, a ministry, someone's heart. Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for Faith Baptist Church. We thank you for good spirit in here. God, these people wanted to be here tonight. Bless them for coming out to church. Bless these men that I asked to come on the altar. Because God, it starts with us. Even me. It starts with us. God, keeping our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Lord, we need to stop patching, and we need to let you fix it. And if there's any men here that need something fixed, that they need help by being accountable to somebody, that they would see Pastor, they would see Brother Mike, they would see another brother. They'd go to their wives, and they'd make themselves accountable. If there's any ladies in here that get things right, and they need to be accountable, they'd go to my mama, Miss Linda, God, and Miss Ruth, my sister, God, and those other ladies that are spiritual in this room, God, that can help them. God, there's missionaries and people that I see. I just talked to a man I ain't talked to in 20 years from Bible school. Was talking about my dad coming to hear him preach out in Kansas. And he said, man, I heard he had a good church. Missionaries come in and said, man, we can't wait to go to Faith Baptist Church. We've heard so many good things. God, help our hearts. Lord, help us to be diligent in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.